Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. And I got to tell you, we've got a firecracker on the show today.
No pressure.
If you like energetic Italian women, you're going to love this show, right? Patricia Russo is with us, and she really has an amazing background. But right now, she is the executive director of the Campaign School at Yale. And if you're not familiar with that, it's a nonpartisan, issue neutral, we'll call it, political training program for people who might be interested in running for office. Mm-hmm. Patty, thanks for being in the house
this
morning.
Thanks so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
It is a pleasure to have you here and to talk about a subject that I think a lot of people think about, right? I know I've thought about it. I've been approached to run for office. And I think what you do down, you know, at your campaign school is really incredible. So let's just start with that. What is it that you do? What's the service that you provide for folks who might be thinking about running, whether it's for local office or national office, whatever it might be? Mm-hmm. And not here just in Connecticut. We're talking about people
nationally, all over the world. Yep. So we offer exemplary campaign training program, training skills for.
Why don't you start that over? We offer
stellar campaign training skills for those who are interested in running for office, as well as for those interested in who are running campaigns. It's really a two-track program. The majority of the students who come to our school are female, and the majority are running for office. They're either thinking about running, they've run and they've lost, and they want to figure out, okay, it's more fun to win. I want to figure out how to do that.
Right.
Or they're getting ready for a higher level run. So say they're in the state Senate right now, and they're interested in running for attorney general, governor, even Congress. They come to our school for that training.
So it sounds like you have a lot of different people in the room. Now, I know you've got a course coming up. And so how does that work, though? Because you've got people that might be running for school board compared to people who might be running for Congress.
Right.
Do they all get different levels of training, or how does that work?
No, the numbers are bigger, as you can imagine. You know, when you're running for, say, U.S. Senate, the cost of a U.S. Senate race, the minimum is $10 million that you're going to have to learn how to raise. You know, when you're running locally, it's more like $25,000. But it doesn't matter. The numbers are daunting, right? If you've never run before, you know, a lot of times women will say to me, Patty, I can't raise, you know, over $500 at my daughter's bake sale. How am I going to raise this money? Well, we teach you how to raise the money, and we teach you all the skills that you need to run an effective, successful campaign.
Who are these people that are taking these classes?
They're amazing people.
But where do they come from?
They come from Connecticut. They come from all parts of the country and the world. So 8 to 10% of the women who come to our school every year are from other countries. And they hear about it word of mouth. Our grads are our number one referral source, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. They've been through it.
Yep.
They've lived to tell. It's a very rigorous program, Ann, but politics is a business, right? Politics is a business. It is rigorous. And it's rigorous because we want there to be no bad surprises on the campaign trail for you. We want you to be prepared for anything and everything that comes your way. And you know how mean-spirited it's gotten.
Yes.
It's not fun.
And it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on.
It doesn't matter.
It's just nasty.
It doesn't matter.
Let me ask you this. So I guess the days of just putting up, you know, lawn signs and maybe knocking on a few doors, you're saying that's not the right approach.
Oh,
you can't do that anymore.
It's an important component, but there's so much more to it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, those lawn signs on lawns and not on 95 are very, very effective and important to your campaign. You know, when people—
But you can't just depend on that.
You can't rely on that. You've got to rely on social media. You've got to learn how to raise money. You've got to learn public speaking. Why you, right? You've got to be able to answer the question.
It can make or break you. I've seen some really good candidates come out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to them, and I've worked for a few of them, your biggest problem is the way that you present yourself.
Correct.
Well, that's who I am. I'm not going to change.
Right.
Well, then you're not going to get elected.
Correct.
Now, $25,000, let's just say you talked about for a local campaign.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a lot of money.
It really goes quickly. It goes quickly. Yeah, it in the grand scheme of things, to think that you've got to raise $25,000 for a seat that doesn't, you know, you're not going to get a salary.
Right.
A lot of these local races, You're a volunteer.
Uh-huh.
But in order to get the message out, in order to hire consultants, a campaign manager, to run an effective campaign, that's what it takes. And that's the minimum, really.
Yeah.
It's the minimum.
One of the questions that I had is, who are these people that are kind of getting interested? And do you have to start out at, let's say, a school board level and work your way up?
No. There's some women that just decide, I'm going to run for Congress. Right? They just decide, I'm gonna run. I want to prepare for a run for Congress. It really depends on what level you're interested in serving in. A lot of women initially, when we were first starting out, our school is now, we'll be seating our 28th class. So we've been around for a while.
Congratulations.
We have staying power.
Yay, you made it.
So when we first started out, many of the women who were coming to our school at the time were interested in a more local commitment, right? They were running for first select woman or board of ed, board of finance, mm-hmm. state rep, state senate, you know, that level. But now we're seeing women interested in all different levels.
When should somebody consider the campaign school? Before they're thinking about running for office, I know you already mentioned that, you know, folks that are looking to achieve higher office also attend these classes, but mm-hmm. when should you do it? I would imagine 5 days intensive, it's about what, 60 hours
mm-hmm.
of in-person mm-hmm. learning, mm-hmm. That there's some reality checks in there that might have you think twice about whether or not you really want to sign up for this.
Well, the thing that I, you know, a lot of times women will say to me, how will I know? I want to do it. You know, how hard can it be? You mm-hmm. know, I see somebody like our own Rosa DeLauro, right, on TV. Wow, she leads such an exciting life. Yeah, she works really hard, right? And she, yeah, leads this exciting life. I think the best way to see whether or not this is for you is to go work on a campaign. Mm. Go volunteer, right? And you will quickly know, wow, yeah, this is so messy and so hard. I love it. Or, wow, yeah, what was I thinking? This is a nightmare. This isn't for me. And I think that both of those experiences, Anne, are equally invaluable mm-hmm. for you.
Right.
You know, why waste time and you're in the middle of a campaign and you hate it? I think ideally the best time for a candidate to come to our school is 1 to 2 years out. So many times we have women coming to the school who are running in real time. They're running right now. And it's a Bambi in the headlight situation. Every day at our school is a new revelation. And it's a bad revelation. It's another thing that they're not doing back at home, mm-hmm. right? So they're very, very distracted. So ideally, if you're thinking about running next year or the second year, 2 years out, that's the sweet spot.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Patricia Russo, and she is the executive director of the Campaign School at Yale University. Also, I want to give out the website if you want more information. I'll give it out now and, of course, at the end of the show. But it is T, as in the, C as in Connecticut, school, S, so TCS Yale, all one word, .org. You know, you talked, Patty, and you've been doing this a long time, and you've got a big, long track record in politics. Is this nonpartisan? Is it, and you talk about women, is it women only? Or
no, it's not. It's never been women only. The majority of our students are women. Well, because our mission is to increase the number of women in the political pipeline. So as long as you embrace the mission, you're welcome to apply and to join us. So for instance, we do have our 5-day training is coming up the week of June 10th at Yale Law School. And we have men who are coming who are running campaigns for women. And what they have always said in, you know, our 30 years of being around is, Patty, I'm not a woman. I know there are challenges that women candidates face that I've never even had to think about. I need to be the best campaign manager I can possibly be, and I need the skills that you offer at the school.
So it's different levels. It's not just people that might be running for office, but you talk about a critical role in a campaign. It's the campaign manager.
Correct.
You also need to know what's going on, and more importantly, how the landscape has changed.
Correct.
Right? And you get all these people in one room. Who are the people that are actually teaching these courses?
The phenomenal faculty that we have, we're so grateful for. They are all political consultants. They've worked on presidential campaigns, gubernatorial campaigns, congressional campaigns, local campaigns as well, from both sides of the aisle. We truly are a nonpartisan school.
Yeah, you can't tell me you guys don't talk politics at school.
We do. We talk politics all the time. But there is a way to offer it in a respectful way. We do have a code of conduct that we all honor. You know, there is a way to incorporate loving kindness and respect of one's opinion. Mm-hmm. We're never going to be able to understand each other. Where are you coming from? How did you arrive at the opinions that you have? How did that happen? Mm-hmm. What's your story? You know, we do a lot of story sharing at our school. We give our students the opportunity to get to know each other as human beings. How about that as a concept?
Oh, what a concept. Maybe we should all practice that.
And that's how I started my political career. At one point in my political career, and I've always been on the campaign management side, which is a hysterical story, but at one point in my career in Connecticut, I was working for Chris Dodd, who was running his reelect for U.S. Senate, and Chris Shays, U.S. Representative, Republican, 1D, 1R, both thrilled to have me on their campaigns.
So it doesn't, you know, it's the person, right?
It's really
what
is the person.
You know, we talked about the changing landscape. If you're thinking about running for political office, what are some of the biggest hurdles right now?
Civility, lack thereof.
Right. I mean, you can look at our national, you know, politics. You can
which
look
is trickling down here.
Oh, yeah, it's trickling
to
down.
Our beautiful little state.
Yeah,
you know, we're seeing it everywhere. It's really unconscionable what is happening, and we do hold our students to a higher standard. We tell them that when they're on the campaign trail, not only are they representing themselves in a respectful way, but they're also representing our school. And to please think about that before they open their mouths.
Do you ever have people that come through the school and you pull them aside and say, I don't think this is for you?
Oh, yes.
You do?
Oh, yes. We do.
And based on what?
Based
just
on...
Just give me a couple of examples of people in the past, not names, obviously, but just situations where... You know, I think you shared with me when we had lunch earlier that one woman said, you know, I'll do this as long as I can be home at 5:30 every night.
Correct. And, you know, she won't be home at 5:30 for, 2 years.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So we pride ourselves on being very upfront with our prospective students about the commitment that they make when they attend. It's four 12-hour days, because you're trained by phenomenal faculty from both sides of the aisle at Yale Law School all day. And at night, we divide the class up randomly into their case study groups, right? And that's where they do their homework. And then the Friday of our school, they present, the case study groups present in front of a Democratic and Republican judge. And that's to make sure that you have absorbed everything we've been throwing at you for 5 days, and that you're ready to take advantage of all you've learned Saturday or Monday, you know, when you leave us. So there have been, again, it's been rare when women come up to me and say, oh my God, it's 9:00 and I'm tired. I'm going to bed. No, you're not. Get back in that case study group. You can't let your group down. And that's the thing about politics. As you know, Anne, it's a team sport, right? If you're down one person, you know, brain power, it hurts your team.
Sure.
So it's not about you. It's about your team. So yes, there have been people who've been excused in the past.
Yeah, and I think it's a reality check for people, correct? Where you just don't know what you don't know. It might look kind of good on television, right?
Yeah.
It might seem glamorous.
Yeah.
It might seem all these things.
And who doesn't want to be at Yale Law School for 5 days?
Yes.
I mean, it's you feel brilliant,
right?
Just sitting there,
right?
But then reality hits you, and maybe this isn't for you. Like, well, yeah, you did describe it very comprehensively. I just didn't believe you. Oh, well, that's not on us.
When people come through the door, is there a percentage of people, what is their motivation for wanting to run for office? Is there one thing or two that you can point to?
They really want to change the world. They see something in their communities that they want to fix. Nobody's taking a lead here. I want to be the leader. I want to be the leader in my state on a particular issue. For the most part, that's why women come to run for office. There's a problem, and they want to be the answer to that problem. They want to be the solution. And so in order to be successful, they know that they're going to need skills in order to run an effective campaign.
you got to be, you got to have some big kahunas, right?
You have to have a healthy ego. You do.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about having to do things afraid, things that are terrifying, taking
out of your comfort zone.
Exactly. But if you have the skills that you need, you are making thoughtful risks, right? You're taking random crazy risks. You're taking thoughtful risks, right? And you know that you're skewing yourself for success.
I think, and I know personally for me, there have been at least one situation where I've been asked, but I've shied away from it because in my response to this individual, I said, there's too many skeletons in my closet. When you get into political office, kind of like being on television news, mm-hmm. you are under the mm-hmm. microscope. Mm-hmm.
But you can share your story. Everybody has problems, Anne. Everybody does. Years ago, we had a woman who was interested in coming to the school, and she said, well, my only thing is I was homeless once. And she shared her story about how she fled from a domestic violence situation with her two little children. She was in a shelter. She went back to school, and then, you know, she was, you know, director of admissions at, you know, a college in her home state. And I said, honey, you're the American dream. That's the American dream. People
right.
can relate to that story.
Yeah.
So don't let your story hold you back. Use it to your advantage.
That's really, really good advice. Because like you said, and this is what I said to this guy. He said to me, rather, he said, everybody's got skeletons in their
Everybody does. And it's better that you make it your story
yes.
rather than your opponent.
You write your own narrative.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And don't hide from it. Don't hide behind
Correct.
It. This
Correct.
Is who I am.
Exactly.
And, you know, I find it's like anything. If you admit it and you take responsibility for mm-hmm. it, people respect you more
Absolutely.
For that.
Absolutely.
That's probably a vote getter right there.
They can totally relate.
Right.
You know, they can see themselves in you, in
right.
your story.
So you've been around for a while.
A while. I love it.
Yes. And again, we are speaking with Patricia Russo, and she's the executive director for the Campaign School at Yale University. They've got some great programming to offer. So let me ask you this. You've been doing this a long time. Do you have any success stories, any alumni?
I have so
I know.
Many.
We don't have, but pick a couple favorites about, you know, somebody, maybe even a woman who walked into this campaign school, didn't really know what direction to go into, and with this, you know, seed being planted in her mm-hmm. has done amazing things.
So Lauren Underwood comes to mind immediately. Lauren is in Congress, African-American woman, came to our school, and she said, Patty, I don't know when, but I'm going to run. I know I'm going to run. I don't know when, but I'm going to run. I said, great. 2 years later, I got a phone call. I'm running. And she's from Illinois 14, which is a predominantly white district. She's African American, as I mentioned, and had been represented by a Republican member of Congress for over 20 years. She was in a Democratic primary with, I don't know, 5 or 6 white guys. She beat them all out and won that primary, and then went on to unseat a 20-year Republican in a white district, predominantly white district. That's a Cinderella story. Right? And that happens all the time at our school. It just happens all the time. If she says to this day, had I not gone to the campaign school, you know, I would not be in Congress today, elected the youngest African American woman ever to serve in Congress.
Amazing story. And you just can't, like you said, fear and your comfort level, you know, keep, because we can't always sit on the sidelines.
No.
You
we
know?
See what happens when we sit on the sidelines, don't we?
Right. And you can have a voice, and you can have a bigger voice, and you can help really represent the people that need representing.
Correct.
If you just get out there and do it.
Correct.
But like we said, it's a major time commitment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see people on these school boards, and I say to them sometimes when they're sitting in a 4-hour meeting with a Q&A that won't end till midnight.
Right.
Know, it's like,
well, the Board of Ed is, you know, it used to be the sleeper.
Oh,
right?
Not
now
anymore.
It's on the firing
line.
Oh,
that's where all the action is.
The other thing that we offer to our grads is beyond the 5 days, we offer a mentoring coaching component to our school.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who's come through the program can call us, email us, because you're going to have a tough day on the campaign trail,
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to know who to call or who to. I need support. I need mm-hmm. help. I just need to work this off through. A lot of times my husband will say to me at 8 o'clock at night, and all my grads know that I'm a night owl, are you done for the day? Well, I think so. And then my phone rings at 9:30 because that's when they're getting off the campaign trail.
Right.
And something has happened and they want to kind of talk it through. And we just kind of pivot. You know, we help them through. And so So the phenomenal training together with the ongoing coaching and mentoring component is kind of the secret sauce to success.
Now, if someone wanted to just maybe stick their toe in the water, you also offer one day programs.
Yes. Anybody can do that. Anne, you should come to a one-day
I told you. I'm really thinking about coming to a one-day event because it'll either maybe push me in one direction or another.
Exactly. That's right? The beauty of the one day, right? So the one day was started right after the 2016 presidential when women were shocked. A lot of women were calling us shocked at the outcome of the presidential election. And so many of them weren't even registered to vote. And I said, well, they're not ready for the 5-day, but let's start raising money to create a whole other level of training, which is the Campaign School at Yale, the basics, which is a one-day training, which we do throughout the country, throughout the year, either in person and virtually. So if people can't get to us, they can always sign up for our virtual one-day trainings. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really fun day. It's like, is this for me or not? I'm thinking about it, but Let me see if this is really for me. I start the day with my glamour, political glamour do's and don'ts. You may be old enough to remember Glamour magazine.
Oh, yes.
Okay, and the last page of Glamour magazine were these poor women who were dressed really well, the do's, and women that were not well, the don'ts, and their eyes were always, you know, covered.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my top 10 political glamour do's and don'ts to even think. Here are the things you have to think about before even thinking about running for office.
The other thing I think about these types of programs that you offer is it's great professional development.
Mm-hmm. It's really leadership skills.
Right, because you talk about there's such a huge component of public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be out there. Your communication skills have to be. You've got news media that you're going to need to contend with that can make you or break you.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, you know, your constituents that can either make you or break
you.
So there's so many different, you know, factions to this particular occupation, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And yet some of them, they're doing it because they want to do it for the right reason, not even for the pay.
Exactly. Well, you're not going to get, I mean, no one I know in politics is getting rich.
Oh, I can name a few.
Right. Well, I don't work for them. but that is the thing about being political, and everything in life is political. So when women come up to me and say, oh my God, I love what you do. Your work is amazing. I love the school. It's great. I'm not political. Oh, yes, you are. If you're not political, you're missing out on the joy and the fun of life because everything is political.
And the impact that you can have. That's
correct.
What drives me crazy. It's like people can bitch and complain.
Correct.
And well, what are you going to do about it?
It's negotiation. Aren't you negotiating with your spouse or your partner or at work or your kids? It's every day is a constant negotiation. Why wouldn't you want to learn how to do that really well? You would.
Absolutely. So there is a cost attached. I'm sure all that information is on your website. And again, we want to give out the website if you'd like more information out there. T as in Tom, C as in Cat, S as in Sam, TCSYale.org. Well, you've got a lot of energy. Do you still love what you do?
I love it. Every day I love it. I love it. It's hard. It's messy. But I love it. I'm so hopeful. So people will say to me, gosh, how can you be so upbeat right now? Because we're changing the world at the school. Because the students that we're graduating are off and they are changing our world. Yeah, they're making things better.
Yeah, and you don't really need to have a political background to get into office.
No.
You kind of learn on the job, right?
Yeah,
it's on the job learning.
Women bring their life experience. You bring your life story. And so many women who have never been political before are getting the bug. You know, back when we started our school, the median age of a woman coming was late 40s, early 50s, predominantly white women.
Mm-hmm.
Now the median age is, you know, late 20s, and the majority of the women who come to our school are women of color. I like to say that our school looks like America. And so they're younger, they're more engaged, they're more issue centric. So they care about an issue and they want to learn the political component to being an effective spokesperson on an issue.
And they're not necessarily career politicians yet. That's what I think we need. I think we need the fresh voices, the fresh minds, you know, the new, you know, getting in there and getting this training so that maybe eventually, instead of the stuff floating down to us, we can float the stuff up.
Correct.
I mean, right?
Correct.
You know what kind of stuff I'm talking about.
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I got to tell you, Patty Russo, it's been an absolute pleasure. Oh, I admire your energy, and I admire what you do at the Campaign School at Yale University. I really would like you folks, if you want more information, check out their website at tcsyale.org. Continued success, and
thank you.
You know, keep popping out those success stories, okay?
I will.
And again, this is Ann Baldwin. Thanks to all of you for tuning into this edition of News You Can Use. We'll see you back here next weekend.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.